Can I just say that I'm so glad and to really honored to bring the word. I'm really excited about the word. It's beautiful. Who's enjoyed Ephesians? I mean, I feel like I've been soaking in a spa pool all week called Ephesians, reading it many times. And I proved it. I actually got my stopwatch and I actually proved it. You could read. I'm a slow reader by as a matter of interest. I'm one of those guys that reads quite slow. That's why it takes me longer. And it takes me less than 4 minutes to read each of those chapters. One chapter is 2.5 minutes, 240, 320. Less than 5 minutes to read a chapter of Ephesians. And I reckon we've all got 5 minutes to read a chapter of the Bible a day. At least Ephesians. It's a great book, wasn't it? We had a fantastic week. Great meetings. Can I just ask a real quick, sharp question? Who here went to at least one of the meetings during the week? There's Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday, Connect Group, Saturday morning, this morning. Hands up nice and high. Okay, thank you for that. I think about half the church actually came to a prayer meeting. Praise God. I encourage you next time to really get involved. I know some people can't, sick children and so forth, but we had a powerful time. The Spirit of God really showed up. It was quite amazing. And who feels different and better? Who feels closer to God? Fantastic. We had just a wonderful time. And before I get into the message, I just want to also give a shout out to Pastor Darwin and Bernadette right here, our leaders from Every Nation Tauranga. Welcome guys. Good things are about to have been happening, but it's going to go on a whole new level this year down in Tauranga. So we have a house church planted down there. We're doing services once a month, and in between they're actually doing disciple makers. So learning to engage and reach lost people far from God. Isn't that what this is all about? If it's all about just worship, we'd be in heaven right now. This is actually about mission. If it was all about just our comfort and just worship and the presence of God, the best place to be is in heaven. It's actually better than Hillsong or Elevation Church or Every Nation Auckland Central. Heaven, it would be there. But because we're here, there's a mission. And God wants to get us on that mission. Now, I'm going to live quite dangerously this morning, because I want to see if there's any testimonies out there of transformation this year. I mean, I know a lot of lives have been touched. I personally have felt just a deeper sense of intimacy with Him and just repenting of some things in my own life, priority adjustments. And I'm just desperate to hang on to that closeness, by the way. I just don't want food and time and the world to just cloud in and mix it up. I'm desperate to stay in that place. Many of us, most of us, I hope, felt different because of the fast, and not just the physical difference. But I did want to give an opportunity just for some kind of off-the-cuff, organic, I think it's the new word we use, testimonies of change, real change, I mean, miracle change, maybe a revelation about who you are in Christ. It could have been a physical healing. Is anybody brave enough to come on down? Or I can come to you, actually. If you've got a testimony like that, can I just, two or three, we're going to go for two or three. It's very dangerous because you get that microphone and people start raving and preaching and everything. And so, but if that's you, I'm going to just ask you to keep it to a minute or two. But anyone here got a testimony of transformation, of change over the last week that they'd like to share? Got the scanner, got the radar going. I don't mind if you say no. I'm just given that opportunity. I love testimonies, don't you? Real live stories of transformation. No one's keen to do it? Okie dokie. We're going to move on. Awkward moments. It's all good. Praise God. Turn to your neighbor. Say, get ready. Yeah, I love it. I love it. I love it. This is massive. You see, prayer and fasting as a church, organizationally, if you like, it's really the launch pad for the rest of the year. As we look down, now it's middle of February, as we look down through the remainder of February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, December, as we look down the corridors of this year, I'm going to attribute all good things to this last week. people interceding for God. You see, we have prayed, and we've prayed for the nation, the city, other churches, every nation globally. We've prayed for our hearts and our lives. God is moving, and we're going to see the manifestations of those prayers dotted all through the year. Hallelujah. Through our community ministry and campus and connect groups and just random strangers, church on Sunday. I attribute the ignition place, the launching pad, through prayer and fasting. So if this is your church family, really, we actually stood here and actually asked all our members to fast and pray. Some capacity, I expect our members to fast and pray. You look at Joshua, you look at the old prophets, they called the nations to prayer. It wasn't optional, it wasn't fill in the form, it was just stepping up to the mark and saying, we as a people are going to believe God and move forward. Hallelujah. So next time I'll encourage you to get involved with that. Well, it's my joy to land the plane on chapter 6. If you could turn, please, in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. So just before Philippians, Ephesians 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I am your morning GPS system. Chapter 6. We're going to camp in chapter 6. We're going to open up a few scriptures. I love biblical preaching, looking at why it's said that way and how it relates to the rest of the book, how it relates indeed to the whole theme of the Bible. We're going to go there and we're going to get into some really cool stuff. But there's one major point I want to make today. And I believe it'll encourage us all today. Can we just pray? Father, we thank you for life. Thank you that you even came down to the planet and touched us. Thank you for your interest. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace, your patience, your long-suffering with us. We desperately need you. Holy Spirit, would you move upon our hearts? Yes, inform our minds, but I ask you, sir, to go beyond that and ignite our spirit. In your wonderful name, amen. Have you discovered that life can be hard? Even for a Christian. Amen, brother. Life, just let's face it. Can we just be honest this morning? And although we've got our faith talk on, there is just hardship in life. We have relationship problems. Family and friends, they disappoint us, do they not? Maybe even hurt us. And we won't even get talking about church family. What about difficult situations? It's like waves pounding the pressure, coming, lack of finance, poor health, disappointment. I have been disappointed with God. I'm sure many of us in here have thought, God, I'm disappointed with you. You've just not, I feel disappointed because you're not doing what I thought you would do. The prayer's not being answered. I think God is not threatened by these emotions and feelings. I think they're quite natural, but I think we've then quite swiftly got to move into faith. But disappointments in life, disappointments. We're facing a disappointment as a church right now with the Auckland City Council, with our building. We constantly come across difficult situations in life. How about this one? A lack of money. Pressure. Money, time, and hope can seem to be eaten up by worry. And the pressures of life and the challenges of life can be so great that we could even ask this question, God, where is the abundant life that you promise? Could you honestly say you're living the abundant life far above and beyond all that you could ask or imagine for? On one hand, we've got challenges and pressures and demands and trials and issues and tissues. And on the other hand, we have Paul inviting us to experience something called the exceeding greatness of his power, says in chapter 1 of Ephesians, the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe according to, not based on my ability, based on, according to, based upon the authority of the working of his power. What kind of power? Paul tells us what kind of power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Well, goodness me, God, here's my life and here's what you're talking about, promises and abundance. How do those two happen? How does the power come down into my situation? Would you like to know? Paul tells us how to bring down and draw down the power of God into whatever situation we are facing. And the answer to that question is simply my task for this morning's sermon. If you could move, please, to chapter 6, verse 10 to 13. And as is my preference, I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet, if you could, in honor of the Word of God. It also allows blood to flow down to the southern island. Praise the Lord. Here we go. Verse 10 through 13. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of our might. Is that what it says? In the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Why is that armor given to us? That you may be able to what? Stand against the wiles, the cunningness, the craftiness of the devil. For we do not wrestle. Pause. What are you wrestling with right now? What are you wrestling with in your life right now? We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Not talking about heaven, by the way. It's talking about spiritual realm, heavenly places. Therefore, because you have an enemy and because he is after you, take up the whole armor of God. Why? That you may be able to withstand in the evil day and having done all to stand. Withstand, the original Greek means vigorously oppose, bravely resist. It means stand your ground. I think you might have seen all the big movies with the old school Viking movies, or, you know, battle scenes and shields and swords, and they come and they lean forward and they hold their position. They anchor their legs, their feet in the ground. They stand their ground. I shall not move back. That's what withstanding is. It's not just withstanding. Yo, hanging out here. Yo, just withstanding. No. It's intentional. It's military. It's with force. You may take a seat. Praise the Lord. All right. Now, to help us understand chapter 6, we have to look at chapter 6 through the lens of all the other chapters. I don't know whether you can recall all the sermons, but let me just overview it very, very quickly. In chapters 1, 2, and 3, Paul gives us, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he gives us a breathtaking, scenic view of the gospel. He doesn't just say, you became a Christian or you received the gospel. He goes word. He goes verse after verse after verse. He pulls it apart. He takes every angle on it. Chapter 1, 2, 3. He gives us incredible explanation, description of the blessings and benefits of the gospel. Within it, he tells us about the glorious new identity for those that are in Christ, those that have surrendered to Christ, made him Lord of their life, his Spirit's living in us. He's our protection, our source, our sustainer, our strength, our new identity. He's the one who forgave us, healed us, redeemed us, cleansed us. Jesus, we're in Christ. Chapter 4, 5, and 6, all the way up to verse 9, is about what that Spirit-empowered new identity looks like, how it produces a new lifestyle, about how the beliefs in chapter 1, 2, 3 generate and produce a different way of living, a different behavior. It affects our personal life. He gets into our sex life. He gets into our home life, our work life, our study life. He gets into our decisions, and indeed, everything that's precious to us radically changes. I want you to catch this overview picture. 1, 2, 3. Gospel, new identity, goodness of God, unbelievable jewels and treasures of heaven. Live differently. He gets finishes verse 9. He says, right, okay, I'm about to sign off. He's about to sign off his email, his epistle. He's about to sign off. Greet this person, greet that person, greet that person. Before I go, I'm going to give you the key. You're going to have an enemy. You're going to have a devil who's going to come. He's going to try and destroy everything that we've promised. He's going to try and eradicate and rob you of chapters 1, 2, 3. He's going to try and destroy your marriage, destroy your home, destroy your confidence, destroy that purity, destroy that identity. He's trying to destroy everything about your life. Chapters 4, 5, and 6 has been built up. And in verse 10, he says, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. He says, as per our title today, stand firm. What's he doing? Paul is taking us all the way back to chapter 1, 2, and 3. Chapter 4, 5, and 6 is based on chapter 1, 2, 3. And isn't that our issue? We try to behave right and be a good Christian like chapter 4, 5, 6. But what is often suffering in our foundations and our understanding and spiritual understanding and our walking it out is really the strength of our walk in 5, 4, 5, 6 is based on our understanding and the reality in our life of 1, 2, 3. Is anybody tracking me? Paul's going, go back to verse 1, 2, 3. Do not forget 1, 2, 3. Tattoo it on your forehead if you have to do it. But all the truth that I've laid out, that new identity, that new spiritual position that I've just gotten through teaching you all about. You're sitting in heavenly places. You have an inheritance. Forget about your past now. You've been cleansed and washed. You're free. Hallelujah. He's saying go back to that. The enemy is about to come. The enemy is about to strike you. He's already on his way. We can hear the sound of hooves as the armies are moving towards you. He is after you. He hates you. He wants to destroy you. Paul says, don't forget about 1, 2, 3. If you know 1, 2, 3, if you know your identity and you stand in that, you have all the power you need, baby. The reason I know that is because verse 10 summarizes chapter 1, 2, 3. I love the Bible. He says, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord. To use our sermon series, we could say this, be strong in Christ. Don't be strong by the Lord. Don't be strong with the Lord. You've got to get in the Lord, in Christ. Wow. I want to tell you something, dear friend. When life is lived in union with Jesus, there need not be any lack of power in your life. The second reason I know, I think this is beautiful. Verse 10, he says, he goes, points us back. But then Paul is desperate. He realizes if these people of every nation, Auckland Central, every nation, Tauranga, don't get this understanding and this reality of their new identity and the new position, if they don't get it, they're going to be mincemeat. They're going to backslide. They're going to give in. They're going to compromise. It's only going to be a temporary phase, a religious little high, but it's never really going to impact their real lives. So Paul's desperate for us to get this understanding and get this truth, and he's wondering, how can I make it stick? Let me find an illustration. Illustrations often work to kind of drive a point home. Let me find an illustration. And Paul's in prison, and most likely he's chained to a Roman soldier. He was such a threat. They chained him to a Roman soldier. He's looking for an illustration. He sees the Roman soldier, and he has a moment of inspiration, and he prays this. Stand therefore, having girded yourself with truth, having put on your breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your peace with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith. That's, by the way, not saying the most highest priority. What he's talking about is a Roman soldier, the shield, the sectum it's called. It's that big shield that covers all. like a door. You seen those big shields, those big square rectangular shields? That's what he means. Above all, it's probably a poor translation. Other Bibles treat it better, I think. It's talking about not above all, the top priority, neglect everything else. He's saying you got all your armor, shield. That covers all, maybe would be a better interpretation. Everybody with me? Shield of faith with which you will be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. For me, Paul brilliantly ties each piece of armor with the amazing new identity in chapter 1, 2, 3. It's not really about breaking down all the armor and how it's all used. He just uses the pieces of armor to remind us of righteousness. Isn't that 1, 2, 3? Of truth. 1, 2, 3? Righteousness. 1, 2, 3? Are you following me? He's using the illustration of the armor to send us. Don't forget, guys, go back to your new identity, what you have in Christ. And that spiritual reality, a new position in Christ, who I am in Christ, gives me a rock-solid footing from which to engage the enemy. Is anybody hearing me this morning? Now, how do you make the spiritual armor a functional reality? Nice talking, Pastor, and some of the stuff's just way too spiritual for me. How do I break it down? How do I download that? How do I make that come into my tense relationship right now, my no job right now, my health report right now, my church issues right now? How do I bring that into it as a functional reality? I want you to notice something, and maybe this is the very first time I've ever highlighted this, but I'm talking about punctuation. No, punch your neighbor, no punctuation. At the end of verse 17, it has a semicolon. Now, somebody, probably Shandell, will give a much more definite technical answer, but essentially, Richard Urbine language is what that means is the previous thought is about to be expounded upon in the following thought. It's connected to, it's a continuation of. And it's very important because Paul is about to tell us something very, very important. He's described the armor. The armor is all assembled. But how do you get inside the armor? How do you activate the armor in your life, your soul, your mind? How do you tap into that resurrection power that God of God into our daily lives? Is that a good question? But how, Pastor? Or more, maybe more accurately, how, Apostle Paul? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 8, having listed all the, look what he says, semicolon, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, not referring to speaking in tongues, by the way. I'll explain that a little bit later, but that's very important to highlight that because many of us will go, oh, well, I just got to go off and try harder. I just got to like use human, you know, kind of energy, like my human just determination. No, we pray in the Spirit. There's a difference. Being watchful to this very end with what? How much perseverance? Shout it out, ladies and gentlemen. All perseverance. Oh, hallelujah. All perseverance. And praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Being watchful to this very end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. In short, Paul is saying this. Each piece of armor becomes a functional reality through prayer. Each piece of armor, walking in the truth of my new identity as a saved person, the strength of my resistance to the enemy and his fiery darts of lies. Notice the darts are heading towards us. He talks about the helmet of salvation. Are following that. The direction of the fiery darts is for the head because that's the battlefield. It's what you put in here that determines whether you win the battle. You hear me this morning? It's a bit of teaching. I'm going to level off soon and preach at you shortly because I know some of us need a big old activation. We need a big old lifestyle change. Praise the Lord. Each piece of armor is put on through prayer.
He just uses the armor as an illustration to remind us about being strong in the Lord. And he says the way to be strong in the Lord, the way to download the truth, download his power, the download, inject and download all that he has, chapters 1, 2, 3, is through a life of prayer. Can you imagine a soldier, Roman soldier, everybody, big battle scene going on, you know? I don't know, we've got the Vikings and we've got the British or something like this, the Saxons and shield, and they've all got the tattoos on the forehead, on the head, listen, the shaved back here, and got the big old beards. And I love it too because it's all big hairy city. I love it, just beards and manliness, it's awesome. Imagine they're all there, they've got their armor, they're all fired up. Somebody comes out and he races up and down with his horse like Braveheart, and he gives a big stirring speech, and everybody's about to, they're just about to take on the enemy, right? And some dude comes firing out of the line, stark naked. Walks out there in the middle of it all, stark naked, no armor. That's like many of you every morning. Every time you leave your front door, there is a ward, ladies and gentlemen, living outside your front door, and you're asleep and living like it's peacetime. There's a war over your soul. There's a war over your destiny. Hallelujah. And many of us here, we just get up and go to work and go about our life. We don't even pray. What would you say about a soldier who just walked out into the battles of life and no prayer, no armor? What would you say? Fool. Every day you leave your home, I want to suggest to you, it's not even outside the door now because of phones, because of technology. It's inside of your home. Before you switch that stinking little thing on, ladies and gentlemen, connect with God. Get the power of God in your life. Then you'll see victory in your life. What you feed on, your eyes and your ears, determines who wins the battle. Don't blame God, don't blame the devil. You got everything you need to win this thing, man. God's given you his best. Every day is a battle. How can you step into it without putting on your armor? Through prayer. Saints of God, be strong in the Lord. See, believers cannot strengthen themselves. Believers cannot strengthen themselves. You can spend time and you can get your little devotion, but if your spirit does not connect with his spirit and there's not electricity and power coming into it, it's just repetitious little wish lists and Lord, protect me today and help me then. And there's no heart, there's no connection, there's no engagement, there's no God. That's not really prayer. Thank God you're doing that. But ladies and gentlemen, praying in the spirit that Paul's talking about is going beyond our stupid little 90-second wish list and connecting with the spirit of God, something that honors God. We're desperate to be closer to him. That's called prayer. Now, I don't want to be unkind, but we do our little, Lord, help me today, help me, okay, tick. Is there power in that? Was God just joking when he said you got resurrection power as a new believer? Was he joking when he said you could live an abundant life? That doesn't mean without problems. It means you've got the solution inside of you to resolve the problems and walk through the issues. You have got the power. See, this is prayer. It's a power adapter. Eventually, your battery is going to run down on that laptop. And the power source is coming from the grid. It's coming from heaven. But unless you plug into the power source and unless you connect it to your life, you're eventually going to run down. This is prayer. And you're wondering why there's no breakthrough? You're not plugged into God. You're going into the battle with no armor, not even a shred of cotton, stark naked. Here is how Jesus puts it. He puts it this way in John 15. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless you abide, you plug in, you switch on, you connect with the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. For without me, you can do nothing. We abide with him. How do we connect? How do we remain? It's through prayer. Jesus tells us and Paul tells us it's through prayer. Here is my one simple point today. A prayerless life is a powerless life. A prayerless life is a powerless life. I want to tell you something pretty shocking. In fact, you're not going to believe this, bro. I want to tell you all something pretty shocking. I'm white. I know you didn't realize that. Maybe I'm a descendant of some tribe. No, I'm white.
Wow, that's great, Pastor Richard. Yeah, chapter and verse, you know, like.
I mean, I'm white. Like, my wife is white, but she goes kind of olive. I'm white. Like, I can never get a tan, man. It's like finding the Loch Ness Monster. Santa Claus, like, what's going on? When I go in the sun, especially this harsh New Zealand sun, it's always a bit of tension in my home because my wife wants to go slip, slap, slap, and I go, no, no, no. I just want to get in the water. I just want to have a good time and hold that feeling of that lotion, that sunblock. And just go away. So I tolerate it. But usually it's absolutely minimum, and usually I'm not fully covered, and usually I get horribly burnt. Sunblock is like the armor. The areas without sunblock are unprotected, and guess what? You get burnt. When Richard Urbane goes out into the sun doesn't go, oh, let me get all my rays, you know, my sun rays. Let's just focus on the white boy. Let's just make him like a beetroot. Like, let's just focus on him. You know what I mean? He's always wanted a bit of color, and let's just zap that dude. You see, the sun doesn't do that. If each day I went out in the sun without sunblock and got completely burnt and complained about it, what would you think? Is it the sun's fault that I get burnt? In the same way, we have prayer available to us, but we often completely choose to ignore it. And I can tell you today that failure, powerlessness, and defeat is assured. And it really is only due down to three things: apathy, laziness, and pride. Why would we walk into a battle scene naked? Why would we go in the sunshine all the time and no sunblock, get burnt, no armor, no protection, and then complain? The reason we don't walk in the resurrection power of God is because we don't walk in the armor, because we don't have a prayer life that makes the devil shudder. A life that's prayerless, a prayerless life, is a powerless life. As I land this, I just want to let you know that the words you feed determine who wins the battles. Our world is a storm of words, is it not? Even while I'm talking now, there are notifications on your phone and you want to answer them. They give you a little dopamine hit. Oh, there's another notification. Or maybe it's a Viber notification or a WhatsApp notification or Messenger or email. Ding, 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 buzz, 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 buzz. Words, 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 storm, words, words, opinions, emails, words, 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 thoughts, words, silent words are called thoughts. You see, it's really a battle of words. The devil's main device to pull us down is words. Thoughts. Fiery darts. I prefer fiery arrows, those military long arrows, and they soak them in pitch and they light them aflame, and they go, you've seen the movies, and it sails through the air. And if you're a good soldier with the shield of faith, and the wooden shield is covered with leather so it would dissipate, hopefully chains and leather, so the fire cannot penetrate the shield of faith. And the arrow is all, you can still hear it whistling through the sky, even right now, for you all and me as well. I'll have a few this afternoon. I hear it all the time, every Sunday afternoon. You didn't preach good. Who do you think you are getting up there? Little thoughts that come through, whoosh, aiming for your head, you see, in our head. It's all about the words. The devil uses words to pull us down. The devil uses words to deconstruct and break down that which God has built in our soul. And God equally has given us the word of God to use. And he's given us prayer, which is words, words, words. You see, whatever you feed your mind will determine who wins the battle. If we're prayerless, if we're wordless, we will die in battle, ladies and gentlemen. You might make it to heaven, but there's not going to be much victory between here and there. Paul says, stand firm in who you are in Christ. You know, before every action, there's a thought. Before every click, there's a thought. Thoughts, thoughts. Words. Word, these words can sound like this. You're not really forgiven. Or your sin is too great. This little sin won't really matter. Well, nobody loves you. God didn't really mean that promise. Maybe you misheard it. Maybe the prophet was off. Or you'll never break that habit. Or maybe this one, this is a pretty big one. You should be terrified through a lack of money. Dear family, it's time to rise up. It's time to get mad at the devil. It's time to be serious about Ephesians chapter 1, 2, and 3, about who we are in Christ. It's through ignorance of who we are in Christ that we are defeated. It's through ignorance of who we are in Christ that we do not remain and walk through this new position, this new spiritual allotment that we have. We have been adopted by God. We are his child. We are son of the king. You have been redeemed, praise the Lord. You've been purchased. You've been forgiven, cleansed. You've been pulled out of your sin and my wretchedness. God has forgiven you, adopted you. He's established you. You have a future. You have an inheritance. You have power, hallelujah. Don't you forget it. Paul says, don't you forget it. Stand firm in who you are. And the devil keeps wanting to bring you into a battle, get you locked into the situation with your bank account or this relationship. He keeps trying to get you skirmishing. What you got to do is use what? The word of God through prayer. Grab the scriptures and declare to the devil, devil, Jesus rose on the third day. You've got no authority over my life. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. The battle's already won. I'm not even going to put my gloves on. Jesus did it all for me. You grab the word of God and you pray the word of God. See, it's words, it's words, it's prayer, it's this thing, it's this thing that takes his word and releases it into the atmosphere, releases it into the situation, it releases it into the heavenly places. But we're all shadow boxing in the flesh, trying to be a good Christian, but their prayer life is almost dead. When was the last time you just got lost in time with prayer? Prayer. Prayer. It's time to tell the devil. I'll say it again. A prayerless life is a powerless life. Here's what I want you to do. I'd like for you to do. If I could be a doctor and prescribe something, this is what I would say. One point. Prioritize prayer every day. Hopefully we can remember four words in our very busy life. Heck, man, you can read massive great updates on Facebook about this long. Some people put these massive things in there. They give you a big old messenger in there. Just remember four words. Prioritize prayer every day. Not just religious repetition. I mean prayer that connects with God. Prayer that goes beyond the daily wish list. Prayer that engages God. Prayer that leads us closer to Christ. You know, one of my favorite stories in the Bible is found in 1 Kings chapter 17. It's a good old Testament prophet. I'm sure he had a big beard too, bit of a Viking. And there was a massive issue in the nation of Israel, and Jezebel and Ahab were running the show. It was pagan, it was wicked, the sacrificing babies, the ungodly, it's shocking. And Elijah is causing trouble. He's doing things. He won't follow the culture of the day. He's going to stand his ground. He's going to believe God. He's going to declare the word of God, uncompromising. And there's this tension that built up. And they decided there needed to be a showdown. And Elijah went to King Ahab and he said, let's just sort this out right now. Let's determine who is the true God. Money, people's opinion of me, high-paying job, or is it Jesus? I'm playing with you now because Ahab didn't say money, right? I'm just trying to bring in the modern-day equivalent. He says, let's do this. You bring your 450 prophets of Baal. You bring your 400 prophets of Ashtaroth. These are all pagan religions. It's wicked. It's demonized. And he says, we will light an altar, we will dig a big hole, we'll put rocks and stones. Interesting, Elijah put 12 stones because he wanted to represent the children of Israel. All of history has come to the sort of this moment of time where it's all going to happen. And he says, we will put timber and we'll cut an oxen, we'll put the oxen on it, we won't light it, we'll just, you pray to your God. And if God comes down with fire, then you have the true God and we'll worship him. But if he does not come, I will get up there and I will put a new altar, I'll put a new oxen there. And in fact, if you read the book of 1 Kings chapter 17, anyway, it's beautiful, it's dramatic, it should be a movie about it. So anyway, so King Ahab and all the prophets, they load up the thing and they start praying to their God, praying to the false God, their false deities. And the day went by and Elijah began to mock them. It's really, really cool. Sanctified mocking, I love it. He said, where's your God? Maybe he's gone to sleep. And they got so razzed up, so upset, they started cutting themselves. Blood was pouring out. They cried out to the God of heaven and nothing happened. All of Israel were there. If you can imagine the mountain, all of Israel, 850 prophets, false prophets, and one man called Elijah. Scene change. Elijah's turn. Elijah said, now we'll see who the true God is. And he said, before I pray, I want you to pour water, soak that altar. There's no possibility of natural combustion. I want you to soak it with water. Not once, do it twice. No. Let's do it three times. And there's a big trough around the base loaded with water. It was saturated, it was soaked. It could only be God. And Elijah stood there and he called out to God Almighty that he would come down and demonstrate himself. And you could see the lightning, boosh, explosion, and there's flames and there's light and the prophets scatter and run. Ladies and gentlemen, what brought the power of God down to earth? It was prayer. Prayer. It was a man who dared to believe that prayer moves the hand of God. Prayer releases the power of God into your relationship, into your repetitive sin. He releases it. He changes your nature. He changes you. He can change. It would bring protection. It will bring salvation secure in your mind that nothing will push you out of it. The devil can't condemn you anymore. There's no legal ground. You've been adopted. You carry his blood. You carry his name. You are his son. You are his daughter. You're no longer that person. Hallelujah. You're no longer a slave to sin. You're a son of God and a living God. You've got to believe it and use the word to push it back in the devil's face. A prayerless life is a powerless life. Can we close our eyes? Powerless life. I want to ask you today, would you like to renew your commitment to prayer?
Would you like to renew your commitment to prayer today? As you and I look down 2018, why don't we lock this truth in and make it a determined part of our lifestyle, our daily, our weekly lives, where we actually, from our heart, put some time aside to seek God. I want to pray for you. If that's you today and you want to renew your commitment to prayer, you know it's not where it needs to be. Can I get you to put your hand up while eyes are closed and heads are bowed? Heart prayer. Daily prayer. Life of prayer. Praise God. Thank you. Put your hands down. You know, in Revelations chapter 2, through the Apostle Paul, it's a prophetic book, but God is assessing the churches, and in Ephesians, he commends them for a whole bunch of stuff, but he says this: you church in Ephesus, you've walked away from your first love. And that is why we do not have prayer as a daily priority in our life, is because we are showing love and giving love to other things. That Jesus is not first, absolutely, unequivocally first in our life. So, Father, I pray for all of those hands that were raised. Lord, I pray that we would turn and repent from our sin. Lord, how can we even think about life without being truly connected to you with an active living prayer life? Lord, I just thank you, Lord. I pray for I too, for many times over my years have been neglectful of prayer. Lord, we repent before you, Father. Lord, take us further. Take us deeper. Lord, let this truth that Paul is talking about, Lord God, let it be so real in our lives. And Lord, I pray for each and every person that, Lord, as they activate prayer, that, Lord, the armor would begin to be constructed around their life, that they would find themselves, be behind a shield, they'd find themselves fully armored, fully able, Lord God, strongly resisting the enemy. That, Lord, I just want to pray victory in the name of Jesus. Lord, I come against every lie of the enemy that says, well, that's your lot in life. You can't really go beyond that. Lord, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. Lord, even the weakest of us can claim the word of God and have the resurrection power of God flowing in our lives. Lord, I pray for a sweet, powerful move of the Holy Spirit in our hearts so we can look you in the eyes and honestly say, Lord, you're my first love. Beyond my wife, my husband, my ministry, my family, my job, my money. Lord, I pray, I would that each of us could pray that. Remove the idols, I pray. Remove the things that distract. And let us live a great year of mighty deeds for Jesus, fueled and empowered by the Holy Spirit. We pray this now in your precious name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Can we stand to our feet? We're going to go out with a song, but I want to pray a beautiful portion of Ephesians. Surprise, surprise. I want to pray that He, God, would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through the Spirit in the inner man, that God may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ, which He passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen.